Okay, so we had started yesterday to segue into the question of why a minhag is determinant to the extent that it is. And we're also working off the premise that the fact that Bava Basra starts this way, that essentially this is the first message that it gives us, is saying something. So just to pause for a second and reflect upon that. So if we assume that Bava Basra is about the shared space ethics that we've been discussing, and that it opens up with this premise that the minhag is going to at least start the conversation. So that's already a statement that if we see that Jewish ethics, and ethics as we've defined it in the more specific sense of how do we navigate the relationships between people in a way that is fair and just, in fulfillment of the various psukim that we mentioned yesterday. So apparently the minhag is an opening premise. It is an opening foundation. Now, this is also relevant to understanding, as some of the Rishonim also note, the language of the first word, you know, that here it looks particularly dramatic. You know, there was talk about the box. So just to see Hashutfin in the box here. So it does work well, maybe more so than other Masechtas, just to serve as a theme for Masechta as a whole. It's particularly evocative, because on the one hand you might say Hashutfin, so really why is that so important? And doesn't necessarily seem to really be descriptive of all the situations here. We're assuming they're partners in what sense? They were business partners? They were real estate partners? How were they partners? And especially if we're going to assume that Hezek Re'ia is the main driving force of some of these dinim, so it's clear as we get on that Hezek Re'ia is not something that's only about partners. That neighbors who have no prior relationship of partnership are not excluded from these dinim of Hezek Re'ia for sure. So partnership is not really the premise here. So what seems to be clear is that we mean it in a much more broad sense. We mean it perhaps in a somewhat metaphorical sense, but the idea is that we are partners just by nature of sharing space. So we're partners with whoever we are neighbors with. We're partners in whatever context we interact with each other. We're partners on the earth. We're partners on the block. We're partners just with the people who we have to work with in the much broader sense of the term, not just in our businesses. But so the idea that the Mishnah is almost in a homiletic sense, but it's really what's guiding a lot of the principles here, that the Mishnah is getting across to us, is that we're all partners, that nobody is isolated, nobody can make decisions that don't have any impact on the people around them, and that the mentality of Shutfin is one that we have to remember. And of course, Tara Chagrin, like we discussed a little bit yesterday, and like the masks are reminding us, that the pandemic has further emphasized our partner relationship, if we're doing the best we can, that the pandemic has further emphasized our partner relationship, that we never thought that we signed up to be interdependent in this way, but that's the reality, that we are a shutfin in the world, and everything that we do is calibrated based on the impact that it has on others. So, okay, so with that, one of the guiding principles is the minhag. And we started to say yesterday that it's possible that minhag could mean a couple different things in a couple different contexts. And that even in this one context of the wall, since the Gemara tells us that already could split up into different interpretations, so therefore as Reb Moshe Feinstein noted, that could yield different meanings of what minig is and why it's powerful. So one possibility is that it's essentially what defines the common language between us. So if we talk about doing things, we have to define our terms in some shared way, otherwise we end up in constant conflict. As we mentioned yesterday, the advantages of a contract is that a contract is as specific as possible as to what the expectations are between two people. So that minimizes fights and minimizes lawsuits and all kinds of problems. The more it's clearly spelled out, if I'm hiring you for a job or whatever it is, that this is what it means. And if this happens, it means that. And if this happens, it means X, Y, Z. So that's always better. So to whatever extent we can establish what our understandings are, we're going to be better off. So if there is a minig, so then the minig is the premise that that's what we're talking about. I say a wall, this is what I mean by a wall. The wall is defined by the minig. And then once we have committed to each other, according to the first possibility, that that's what the Gemara is talking about, that we decided to build the wall, so once we decided that, so now we're going to go through with it, so even if I come and say, well, I didn't think it meant that, but you say, that's the minig, so that's what's going to carry the day. Alternatively, Reb Moshe notes that if we're not talking about that they agreed to make a wall, but we're saying that it is from the premise of Hezek Re'iyah, and therefore we obligate walls whether you brought it up or not, when there's going to be a division. So then, we mean that we see it in the sense of a takana of the locality, and that this is what the leadership is advocating for the people, and therefore, that's binding on the two of the guys here as well. So let's try to explore that these give us some foundations for these the Jewish ethics that we're talking about. And we'll see when we get into defining Hezek Re'iyah that there could be other components too. So the common understandings is one component, what the communal standards that are directed by the leadership is another component. We'll also see that within Hezek Re'iyah, for a particular example, that it could also reflect certain Jewish values that transcend what you and I necessarily want or what the specific community wants. But maybe there's an aspect of how Jews are supposed to behave that also is playing a role here. Right? Without getting into it yet, but you can already imagine that presumably we talk about Hezek Re'iyah, there is a value of tznius that's involved. We don't want people to not care about their privacy, even if they were both agree that it's not necessarily their highest priority. Maybe we'll tell them, it doesn't matter, you both agree that as proper Jews, we want you to care. So there could be an aspect of a Jewish value system that's also directing how people treat each other on top of whatever they necessarily want for themselves. So all of these are going to be components of the Jewish ethical system, the minig in the various senses, and whatever other values are relevant to the situation. So that's a part of what we will see as we go further. It's also worth noting that you see this also in the formulation of the Tur and others, that the Masechta, yes, starting with the notion of Shutvin and starting with the notion of Minig as opening themes, but also Hezek Re'iyah basically being the first thing you learn. So how is that possibly itself kind of a model for all of shared space issues? Does it perhaps have even more than other dinim, its own statement about how we relate to each other in common areas? Okay, so let's try to consider with those frameworks So what are some of the issues that need to be defined in our context initiative? So what are issues that Rishonim disagree about or question or work with in terms of the scope and the parameters of the minig? Anybody want to help me out? What issues did you see when looking in the Rishonim as far as what needs to be defined a little further?
The width. Not the minimum width.
Okay, so is there a minimum width, I mean, or whether
the minhag affects it.
Whether the minig affects it, right. So the question is, I call it minig amedina. So some of the Rishonim, such as Ramban and others, assume that there's a, when we talk about minig, so we mean what kind of wall? But as far as how big the wall is going to be, how thick the wall is going to be, so maybe that was not left to minig. And that the reason the Mishnah lists these numbers is to tell you, okay, you can use this material, use that material, but once you're using a material, we have regulations how you do it, and that's inherent. What else? What other possibilities?
The Mishnah also discuss what exactly, which context is the minhag in? Is it general building practices of the year, the building a chatzer, or shutfin building?
Okay, so that's also interesting, right? So the Rashba brings that up. The Ramban seems to also be working off a certain premise that the Rashba probably disagrees with, right? The question of, so what minhag of what? So we're building a wall, so the minig of all walls, you look around the city and you see, okay, this is what walls look like, that's what I have to build. So why is that problematic, as the Rashba feels? Why is that not such a likely premise, even though it does sound like what the Ramban is working off of? Right? But there's another issue here that, well, shouldn't it be tied in to what the wall is for? And so, yeah, all the houses have walls because they need to have somewhere to live, and they can't have their walls collapsing, or they can't be freezing in the winter. But if indeed the wall turns out to be for the purposes of preventing hezek ria, so maybe that's not standard. So maybe we shouldn't use what the building codes are in general. We should use the standard that partners would normally use for this purpose. Okay, so that's definitely another issue. So what else? What other issues are set to be determined among the Rishonim? You get a chance to see. Let's just zero in on that question for a second, that if indeed the conclusion is that a wall is for Hezek Ria, so then Taka, what's going on with all these rules? All right, so you could, unless you're worried that your neighbor has x-ray vision, so presumably anything that is not transparent should be enough. So if it's about hezek ria, so really, why do we need all this fancy stuff at all? So just have a very thin wall, and if it covers up, it covers up. So what's the issue then of having more? So Rishonim, and the Ramban and others address this question. And one of the possibilities that you see is that, well, there's various aspects to how you are addressing the concern of hezek ria. Right? And it's not necessarily enough to say, well, I dealt with it, I have a wall, and it's not very sturdy, but you can't see through it, so doesn't that accomplish the goals of hezek ria? Well, what if it's not very sturdy? So then what does that do? And so that opens up a whole other issue, which is very, very fascinating, about what are the expectations between neighbors as far as things like this. So I could say to you that, yeah, it's very nice that right now you can't see because you have that wall, but what happens tomorrow when the wind blows and I wake up in the morning to see the wall is in shambles on the floor, and you don't have a wall. So then I'm going to have to rely on you to take care of it quickly, and I'm going to have to take you to Beis Din. I'm going to have to sue you and get you to fix it. And that's a big pain for me. A part of my protection from being Hezek or Iyad by you is not only that right now I'm not being seen by you, but that I have some confidence that it'll be there tomorrow or next week. And that if you're putting the burden on me to take you to Beis Din once it falls down, or to wait however long it takes to be repaired. So that's a part of my rights, or impinging on my rights. In the same way, you see this reflected in all kinds of aspects of life. Right? So you, when you drive, so you're obligated to have insurance. The law requires you to have insurance. Right? Because if you should crash into my car, so yeah, you're obligated to pay, but that's not enough protection for me, just knowing that you're obligated to pay. I need to know that you also are able to pay, and that you're not going to crash into my car and then come to me tomorrow and say, yeah, it's my fault, but what can I do? I can't afford to pay for it. Or what can I do? It's going to take a while for me to get around to it. So part of people interacting in society is that not only do they have obligations to each other, but the realistic ability to carry out those obligations is a part of what allows us to interact. So it's not necessarily enough for you to have a wall. I also have to know that that's a wall that's going to last, and I don't have to worry that tomorrow it's going to fall down, and who knows how long it's going to take you to fix it, or how much effort am I going to have to expend in getting you to fix it. So that's all a part of my rights. So how do you define it? So, Menega Medina. Okay, so you're right. I can't require you to have a huge maximum security prison walls outside your house. So there's a balance. And the Menega Medina is going to be the balance. And this issue in general of why we need this fancy wall, if really Hezek Re'ia is where we're coming from. So that opens up a lot of discussions along these lines. And Chazon Ish has further analysis of this whole point. And the Chazon Ish says essentially that we have to balance a lot of things here. And that Chazal, taking the directives that we talked about, all the various chicken. So Chazal have a couple of things that they want to try to address. On the one hand, yes, they want to protect the neighbor from Hezek Re'ia. And together with that, it's not enough that they're protected now, but there's got to be some security and some sturdiness to the system so the neighbor knows that it's going to last for a while and it's not going to be his job to jeopardy to fix it. So all of that is on one side of the equation. But on the other side of the equation, it's also not fair that it should be infinite, and walls are expensive and difficult to maintain. So to say, well, why don't you just make maximum security prison walls, because that'll really save your neighbor from Hezek Re'ia. It's not fair either. So we have these two conflicting needs, and we have to find some balance between them. And this is going to be a theme throughout every din in the Masechta, but it's basically, it's not like the more overt kind of damages in Bava Kamma, where somebody, even though it's not unlike it either, because Bava Kamma also involves people having the right to live and to move around, and they can't bear exclusive responsibility for the protection of other people's property. But here it's in more subtle ways that we need to figure out just where exactly do my rights end and your rights begin. And this is going to come up in all kinds of different contexts, but Hezek Re'iyah is going to be a major one, because to whatever extent I hold back from infringing on your privacy, I am at the same time holding back from my own usage. So as we get into some of the reasonings for Hezek Re'iyah, so we'll see that if, for example, you're going to be concerned, well, I can't live comfortably because you're looking at me, but I also can't live comfortably if everything has to be determined by my not being able to see you. So where do your rights end and my rights begin? So all of it's a trade-off. All of it's a careful balance. So overall, so Chazal had the job of trying to assess where that sweet spot is. Where is that comfortable middle where you are adequately protecting the rights of the other guy and you are still not asking for too much from the first person? So this idea of a thickness that gives confidence that the wall is going to last, that's a part of the first equation, but to make it too thick, that it's going to be extra expenses that are not going to help anybody, it's not going to really be a fair request. So that's where Chazal had to find the balance, and that's what they did by default. But it goes on to say, if there's a minig, so for the most part we'll use that. So why is that going to be the best way? If you could also just have Chazal assess it for each thing. So here you have a combination of benefits, and I think somebody said yesterday, somebody over here, I don't remember exactly who, that there's an advantage. There are other advantages to using the minig, that if this is what people are familiar with, somebody mentioned yesterday, if people are in the habit of doing things this way, so already that's going to bring certain advantages, that probably what they have figured out is best for them, and that's what they are experienced at doing if they all use a certain kind of wall, and that's what everyone is accustomed to. So then that's going to bring about its own contribution to public harmony. It's going to be what people are used to, it's going to be what they're good at, and therefore, if there's an existing minig, so that becomes, for all those reasons, the preferred method. Okay, so far so good. It's also interesting that there are some who maintain that really what we're dealing with here is something above and beyond. And again, a lot of what's driving the question is that if we say that Hezek Re'iyah is the main factor, so we could have gotten away with less, so why do we have all of these additional things? So Rav Shimon Shkop, for example, the great Telzer Rosh Hashiva, who was also Rosh Hashiva here for a year, so we have a special extra affinity for the writings of Rav Shimon Shkop. So Rav Shimon Shkop in his Shiurim of Bava Basra, so he suggests that really the idea of the wall is actually a step beyond. And that the notion of harchakas nezikin, that more we'll get more into in the second parak. So yes, it's true that the obligation not to be mazik somebody. Right, so if we're not supposed to damage somebody's property, so that responsibility exists on a couple of levels. Right? So certainly for me to wantonly engage in vandalism, so that clearly is out of bounds. However, you know, when you learn Bava Kamma, so you see it's not just that if I'm intentionally damaging your property, but we say Adam Mu'ad Ba'olam, a person is always considered to be liable and responsible for the damage he causes, even not intentionally. So therefore, that's also included in the responsibility of not being mazik. So not being mazik means, as the first Mishnah of Bava Kamma makes clear, that certainly I shouldn't be intentionally damaging your stuff, but that which we know within our property is likely to inflict harm on other people's property if it's not guarded. So that's where we have the obligation of Shmira Snezikin. That, by the way, is, according to some, related to a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. The Torah uses the language that below Yishmerenu Bailo, this person had damaging elements in his property and he didn't watch over them. So because he failed to watch, so therefore he's responsible for whatever damage happens. So the question is, what do we mean? We mean only that, do we mean that a person therefore is obligated to take extraordinary measures to make sure that nothing he does or owns has any kind of negative impact on anyone else? Is that all included within the Lo Yishmerenu Bailov? So Rav Shimon says, no, that means when you're really sending your dog out to go bite someone, or you're sending your ox into a china shop, so that's where you really have the responsibility of Nezikim. But some of what we're talking about here of a greater Zahirus, so that's in the spirit of good fences make good neighbors, and literally, right? And that essentially this is a takana of Chazal, right? This is something that the rabbis instituted essentially as a din d'rabbanan in order to further guarantee that there won't be problems. So that puts kind of a different spin on things, right? That essentially what we're seeing here is a mixture of things. That yes, Hezek Re'iyah, ultimately we're going to conclude, is a real din. If you say Hezek Re'iyah, Shmei Hezek. Right? Question about that?
My question was, in terms of Shimon Shkup's claim, is that also deriving from the fact that there's a specificity in the Mishnah that we want to ensure that the materials are either both shared or only yours, depending on the case?
Well, the material part is definitely a part of what's pushing the question. Because if we're going to say, and this becomes a major issue in terms of understanding how things come together, right? So basically the Gemara is asking, just to phrase it a little differently, right? So the Gemara is asking, what's the Mishnah talking about? Is the Mishnah talking about you decided to make a wall? Or is the Mishnah saying that even if you didn't decide to, you have to anyway because of Hezek Re'iyah? So it sounds like our conclusion is that, yeah, Hezek Re'iyah is the thing, and therefore you have to make a wall. So we say Hezek Re'iyah is a thing. That's our modern idiom in terms of when the Gemara says Shmei Hezek or Lav Shmei Hezek, right? That's something we're certainly going to spend a lot of time trying to understand. So what does it mean, Hezek Re'iyah, Lav Shmei Hezek or Lav Shmei Hezek? So we know that it's not full Nezikin in the absolute sense, as we'll see, because you don't pay for Hezek Re'iyah after the fact. Right? If my ox damages your china shop, so I'm going to have to pay. If I violated Hezek Re'iyah, so I don't have to pay for it. So we say Shmei Nezek. What do we mean? What do those words mean? Right? It doesn't mean that it's a mazik in the same sense as the Arba Avos Nezikin. it means essentially, you know, the modern usage maybe is the best way to use it. It's a thing. It's a thing. It's not nothing. It's not nothing. We don't say that there's no mamashus to hezekriya. It's just looking, what is that? It's a little bit evocative of what Rabbi Twersky was talking about yesterday. I don't know if this really counts as synergy. It seems like just the language, but you know, I did use those exact words yesterday. That the Rambam says, you might think, okay, what's this backless? He didn't do anything. It's just looking, right? So essentially, that's what is one of the themes here, even though it's a different type of context, that one could have thought, okay, what is hezekriya? I mean, I didn't change you. I didn't actually do anything. I didn't actually touch you. So the fact that I saw, it's nothing. So we conclude that, no, it's not nothing. It's a thing. Hezekriya, shmei hezek. But what does that mean? That we still have to determine. So what some of the Achronim and some of the Rishonim are struggling with is, okay, what does our Gemara tell us? Then our Gemara is telling us, yes, Hezekriya is a thing. And it's also telling you that you have all these rules. Are the rules and the fact that Hezekriya is a thing, are they totally connected, or maybe they're two separate points? In other words, maybe the Gemara is saying hezekriya is a thing and you can't live without a wall. But all these details that are also here, maybe that's beyond the basic bottom line of hezekriya. So some of the Rishonim were saying, well, it could all be explained by hezekriya, that hezekriya is the whole issue, but we still need the walls to be a certain thickness because if it's going to fall down tomorrow, that's not going to satisfy us for hezekriya. Hezekriya requires protection that is reliable. While others are suggesting that, no, maybe hezekriya could have been enough to have just the wall made out of something much thinner. But the Gemara is telling us two things at once. It's telling us hezekriya is a thing, and it has to be addressed. And there's also, on top of it, extra requirements that go beyond that, that could be either a takana d'rabbanan on top, or it could be for other purposes. Alexander?
The Gemara sets up hezekriya as like the decider, that without it, you would not be required to build a wall, and with it, you would be required to.
Right.
So even if we say there's an extra takana for these other requirements, the ikar really is the hezekriya, because that's what requires you to then build a wall. Then there's extra things on top of that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, literally, right. So this is certainly because of hezekriya existing, so it means that you're going to have a wall. But a part of what's left a little bit ambiguous is, does that mean every detail here is driven by that? Or maybe there's additional aspects here. So you could say they're all driven by that. Like if you say that it's the sturdiness is all going to contribute to how much protection you have from hezekriya, and the minig determines how much protection we expect. Or it could be that, no, hezekriya is an important part of this discussion, so you should know you're going to need a wall one way or another. But some of these things are addressed by other components. And there's a minig that's also there. So let's say you were, for whatever reason, able to be 100% confident that the hezekriya is addressed, but there's still a minig to have better walls. So then that might mean that still you got to follow that minig anyway. And what also comes up is, so this issue that was attached to hezekriya a few minutes ago, the question of, let's say you also have to be able to, you have a right not to have to be a nudge. And that essentially, similar to what we said about the insurance, that I have a right for you to pay me if you hit my car, and I also have a right to not have to worry about whether you're able to pay me. And I have to expect you to have insurance so that I know that if you are in this position, I'm not going to have to fight and find some way to make you pay something you don't have, but the insurance is going to take care of it. That's also a part of my protection. So I also have this right to have a wall and the confidence that the wall is going to last. So is that only a hezekriya thing, or is that true by other things also? And so it sounds like from some of the Rishonim here that this concern, shlo yisatzim b'din, I have a different ways of phrasing it. Shalei hate soik tamid. I don't have to always be a nudge. I'm not going to have to be screaming at you constantly. So maybe that's in general right by the minig definition also, that I should be able to insist that the minig is going to cover things for a significant period of time. Okay, so this puts a number of issues on the table. So we'll just try to recap and let you get to class on time. And then, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, let's try to aim for that to be the summation of everything and bring it all home. So what exactly is the scope and the mechayiv and the accomplishment of minig in determining the foundation of how we share our spaces? So what we talk about today, so we added in a little bit the question of the language of Shutfin and what Shutfin represents. Doesn't just mean literal Shutfin, but it's a theme of how we should see ourselves relating to others in all the contexts. We saw that there is the question of how far the minig goes. We saw that why the minig is the opening premise could have a couple reasons. It could be because it's what creates a language between us. It could be that it represents a takana on behalf of how the community treats each other, or it could be that there are some kinds of Jewish values that are also there, even if we didn't ourselves care, such as tznius and the like, which would be a factor in hezekriya. We noted the idea also that not just shutfin is the opening theme, but hezekriya is the opening theme, may also say something about the main principles of shared space. And we also talked about then questions of what are the Rishonim trying to figure out in terms of minig. So is minig absolute? Is it only the starting point? Are there other factors? So what were some of the issues that we saw? Whether the minig is about everything or it's just about the material, and then the measurements are not about minig. Why would it be that if hezekriya is the factor, so why should it have to be so thick? Some are showing him saying it's because that's a part of the protection, it should be sturdy. Others seeing it as something additional and beyond. We saw the Chazon Ish who talked about that Chazal tried to find where the sweet spot is, that you should be able to not spy on your neighbor and you should have confidence that it's going to last, but also to make you spend more than is going to be productive is not fair either, so they had to figure out where is that middle space. But if there's a minig, that's preferable because that's what people are used to and accustomed to and probably makes sense for that neighborhood and therefore has a preference. And the Rav Shimon Shkrop suggesting that this is something additional, this may be a takana drabanan on top of things, that as far as shmira from nezikin, that is really addressing much more overt kinds of nezik. But what we're talking about here is a proactive takana, because good fences make good neighbors. And we looked into this question of whether hezekriya, which the conclusion is it's a thing, but does that mean that's what's driving everything here, or ultimately is there some combination of making sure hezekriya is addressed, but also additional minhagim that may have their own inherent force to them at the same time. All right, so I wish everyone has a very productive first Tuesday of this month. It's a Yom Shehuchpu Lubo Kol Tov, so hopefully it should be doubly good, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.